I'm like Elizabeth Taylor, what she said to her eighth husband, I won't keep you long. Thank you. Matthew 28, let's look at verses 1 through 10. This is the resurrection day that we celebrate every Sunday, don't we? Actually, we celebrate it every day, don't we? Every day we celebrate a risen Lord. Read with me, if you will, beginning with verse 1, follow me. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, and he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see him. Well, this is the greatest event in the history of man, of course, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it's only the completion of the gospel. The Bible teaches us that God sent his Son, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to the cross. His purpose for the cross was to die for your sins and my sin and the sin of the whole world. So the redemption story begins with a cross where Jesus paid for our sins. Every one of us want to go to heaven. No one wants to go to hell. We want to spend eternity being blessed. We want to spend eternity in peace. That was made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross. So the beginning of the gospel is that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. Now this wasn't just made up at the last minute, wasn't thought up at the last minute. It was planned before the foundation of the world. And you can even go back through the Scripture and see that there in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, that when old Adam sinned before God, God made a covering for him. The offering of the blood of that animal there to cover his sin was a picture of what God was going to do at Calvary years later. And then you keep on going to the Bible, you can see another picture of it when you look at Genesis 18, where Abraham and Isaac, they're going to make a sacrifice up on a mountain. And they gather the wood, and Isaac carries the wood on his back, and the father goes up that mountain with him. And then they build an altar there, and then Abraham takes the knife, and the son Isaac is on that altar. And about the time that he is going to slit his throat, the angel of the Lord gave an answer, and there is a substitute for that boy, and they find a ram in the thicket. And so Isaac is spared. That's a true picture of the gospel because, see, Jesus didn't just go up Calvary's mountain alone. The Father went with him up that on that mountain. And it was the Father's plan that he would be slain for the sin of the world. The devil had nothing to do with Calvary except he is scared to death. When Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, the Father had him to be the sacrifice, the perfect lamb that was a substitute for you and for me. See, if I die in my sins, if you die in your sin, you will spend eternity separated from God. But because God made a provision, a substitute, his own son, His own Son became the propitiation for our sin, to cover our sin and allow us to enter into the presence of God. So when Abraham and Isaac go up that mountain together, and Isaac is carrying that wood on his shoulders, he's exampling the Lord Jesus as he goes up Calvary's mountain. And listen, friend, the Father went with him up that mountain, and the Godhead is apparent there on that mountain. And when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he was not just crucified by the soldiers there. They are just the instruments that God used. It was the Father that sacrificed his Son, just as he sent Isaac and Jacob up that mountain to sacrifice his son Isaac. The Father went up that mountain and did not give a substitute for his own son, but let his own son die for our sins on that cross. Thank you, Father, for the sacrifice of your son that provides a way of salvation for everyone to go to heaven. We have that picture there of Isaac and Jacob going up, Isaac and Abraham going up that mountain. Then we have other examples. I remember back when in Exodus, when the children of Israel had sinned before God, and God told Moses to make a pole and put that pole there on that hill where they could see it, and put the serpent who had bit them on that pole. And anyone who would look to the serpent on the pole would live. They that would reject that message of looking at that serpent on the pole would die because of the venom of that serpent. That's a picture of Calvary. See, when Jesus went to the cross, he became sin for us. He became as the serpent. He died for us on that cross. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we have a picture of Jesus down on the cross there in the wilderness when that serpent is on the pole. And listen, friend, it wasn't just about that serpent on the pole. It was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ that would die for our sins 2,000 years ago. So we have Jesus in our text. He had went to the cross and he had died on the cross. And now he's gone. He's risen. See, the gospel's not complete without the resurrection. We think of the resurrection because that's the symbol and that is the emphasis and that is what makes Christianity true. That Christ not only died for our sins, but that he was buried and he rose again the third day victorious. See, when he came up from the grave, he proved that his death was sufficient. When he come up out of that grave, he proved that he is the very Son of God. When he come up out of that grave, he became not only our Savior, but he became the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen? I'm so glad he come up out of that grave. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, chapter 15, if there be no resurrection, our faith is vain. It's not any good. It's worthless. Our preaching is vain. It's worthless. He said everything we have as Christians ride on the fact that Jesus Christ died and he rose again the third day. And he was seen by the witnesses. And he was testified of by the witnesses. And the apostles went out to the whole world at that time and preached the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And they lost their life as martyrs because of their testimony that they believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that died for our sins on Calvary's cross. That's the gospel, friend. The gospel is good news. I've got good news. If you want to go to heaven, you don't go to heaven by good works. You don't go to heaven because you get straightened out. You go to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ died for you in your place that you could be forgiven by God. That's the wonderful gospel of grace. You know, in our story here, it says that the angel came out in verse 4 and testifies to these women. He said, "Fear not." He said, "Fear not." Then he says it again in later verses, "to fear not, not to fear." You know, when Jesus died and when he rose again, he spoke to the greatest fears of life. the greatest fears of life. The first one being the fact of sin. Now, you may not be thinking about it, but sin is a real problem. It's a real issue. Sin will keep you from heaven. Sin created the problem that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to come from heaven to earth and live 33 years as a perfect man to die on that cross for our sin. Sin is a major problem. And you go back to the beginning when Adam simply disobeyed God. That was the only the beginning of it all. And sin is all over the world, and every one of us have problems with it, and it persists and it has power, but there's a penalty. There's a penalty for sin. Now, God is God, and He's holy, and He's in heaven. And you and I cannot enter into His presence if we are sinners, unsaved. So that's why Christ died, to make a way for us. Amen. It's not by religion, it's not by the elements, it's not by anything like that. It's simply by faith in the Son of God as your Savior that causes you to be cleansed of your sins. Amen. When you get saved, friend, you are washed in the blood of Jesus. I know that's metaphorical. I know it literally doesn't happen to you. But by faith, you're believing in what He did at Calvary, and you are positionally saved, and you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away the black sin in our life and make us white as snow. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, if you're here today and you maybe are a religious person and you want to go to heaven, you want to know God, let me introduce you to the way to God. You have to come through the door. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the door. And you have to come by faith. You don't come by sight. You believe what He did 2,000 years ago. And you trust what He did as the payment for your sins. And that's how you're saved. We're going to give an invitation in a few moments. And I want you to come if you're not sure of where you'll spend eternity. And I want you to just kneel here at the altar. And I want you to trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. See, Jesus came into the world to seek and save sinners. And all of us are sinners by nature and sinners by choice. He died for our sins, but then He proved that His payment for sin was sufficient when He arose from the dead. See, He defeated sin. He defeated Satan. The resurrection is the answer. We don't have to fear sin anymore because Jesus died for our sins. Amen. But not only that, amen. Not only that, we don't have to fear death anymore. We don't have to fear death anymore. Hey, listen, I'm not telling you to go out and die on purpose, but I'm telling you don't have to be afraid, because Jesus conquered death when He arose from that grave. It's a fact, friend. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. We're going to die. There's a day that we won't be here. We'll be gone, and there'll be someone else. But the bad news is covered by the good news. And the good news, Jesus conquered death when He arose from the grave. By the resurrection, Jesus proved that death is temporary and it can come to the end. And that's the reality. You got to get this reality. There's the second death. See, I'm going to die one death because my faith is in Christ, and I'm going to go be with the Lord. But if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to die the second death when you're cast into the lake of fire. I want you to look with me at John chapter 11. Say, preacher, why do you read those verses? Because any chance I get, I read these verses. Chapter 11 of John, it says in verse 25, Jesus is on the site there with Mary and Martha. Lazarus had died, and they're upset because he wasn't there. They were upset because he wasn't on time. And so he comes along, and look what he says. She says, one of the girls says, Martha says, what's wrong? What's going to happen to my brother? And Jesus said, he's going to rise in the end. And Martha said, I know he arises at the end, at that resurrection day. And then Jesus says in verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection. Now, he hadn't died yet, had he? He was already the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection, and what else? And the life. Notice the simple promise. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, he's going to give them a physical example of resurrection. He's going to go out there and he's going to say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus is going to come out of that grave. Listen, friend, one of these days when Jesus comes in the clouds, I may be already dead. I think legend told me the other day he wants to die before the Lord comes. Well, I hope he lives a long time. I hope the Lord comes quickly, so I don't know what to wish. But anyway, when Jesus comes in the cloud, he's going to speak your name, and you're going to come up out of that grave, and you're going to be alive again, and you're going to have a new body made of new material it has no blood, flesh and bone only, and you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Notice verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then verse 26 is the climax of it all. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Did you hear that? I'm not going to die. Lady, you're not going to die. Just going to move from here to there. Amen. I'm just moving. He said, and whosoever. Hey, raise your hand if you're a whosoever. Let's see if you're listening. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me. How many would say, preacher, I believe in Christ as my Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Testimony. Did you get the promise? He said, shall never, never die. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Philippians and the book of Corinthians, when you and I as Christians leave this body, leave this earth, we enter into the presence of Jesus. Turn with me to John 14, if you will. John 14, verse 1. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to die. And he's going to die, but look what all he's going to do after death. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Hey, folks, you believe in God? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me ask you something. How many believe Jesus' word? I got some participation going on here. I'm very happy. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me tell you, that's where I get my belief. Some may not believe this. I don't think they know what they believe, but I believe this. When a Christian dies, the first thing they meet is Jesus. And that's all they ever know. That's all they ever need. Is Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. He comes again at death when we die. Of course, you know he's alive, don't you? He's got to be alive to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that a great promise? And then old Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. What is the way? And Jesus said in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now notice he said, I am. That I am is bigger than just two words, I am. Who is the great I am? Amen. That's him, Jesus, amen? Yeah. The Jesus, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Jesus said unto him, I am. Now that I am has all the power in the world. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Listen, heaven is a prepared place. Amen? It's for a prepared people. Have you made preparation? And it has only one prepared way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing. God has chosen these vessels of flesh and blood to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in the world. Angels don't give out the message, but Christians do. So I'm closing with this. I'm going to give the invitation to you, if you're here today and you're not sure that you'd go to heaven when you die. I want to assure you that Jesus has prepared a place. It's for prepared people. How do I prepare, preacher? Well, here it is. You ready? First of all, you realize that you need to be saved. You need Jesus in your heart. You have to realize that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Are you there? Do you understand that? That's step one. That's step one. Step two, you have to believe in this gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died for our sins and died for your sin. And you make it personal. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. That's how you get prepared. And then you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. We're going to give an invitation starting just in a moment. And if you don't know, if you're not sure you'll go to heaven when you die, you can leave here today sure that you'll go to heaven when you die. Jesus said, I have a place prepared. It's for prepared people. And there's a prepared way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way. You don't go by church. You don't go by religion. You don't go by baptism. You don't go by good life. You don't go by changing your ways. You go by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want us to stand to our feet, and as our musicians start to play, I want us to sing. But if you would like to be saved today, Nothing But the Blood, page 30. If you'd like to be saved, you come today and give your life to Christ. You come now. Would you come? For a minute as the musicians play, I want to just give you a moment to think. This is Easter Sunday. This is the day of salvation. If you're not a Christian, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. Would you come? Need to come today? All right. Well,